Well, we're continuing our sermon series today, this winter sermon series. In fact, today is the last day of it, the last Sunday of it. This series we've called Symbols, as we've been looking at some of the symbols, both in Scripture and in the Christian tradition, about that remind us of God and who God is and what God calls us to be. And one of the things, my hope, really, from at the end of the day, is that all of us can go out from this place and thinking about these very rudimentary symbols, right? Things like tables and wine and cup and today water and others, that we might, when we see them out in our regular world, not just here in church, but when we're going out in our regular world, that we might see them and be reminded about who this God is. Remember in 1 Thessalonians, it says, Paul admonishes us to pray without ceasing. And we think to ourselves, man, how do I possibly do that? Well, actually, these symbols are part of that. Like, we can use these symbols of faith as a way to connect ourselves, to communicate, really to pray, if you will, to this living God, that we see a God and God's way all around us. And these symbols are part of the way that God helps us to do that. Today, we're looking at this symbol called water. Water, I think, actually, is probably the most used symbol for God and God's way in the Scriptures. In fact, it kind of bookends Scripture in our salvation story. We heard Vicki read for us from Genesis, at the very start of this river of life that flows through the Garden of Eden, God's provision for this wonderful garden, this beautiful creation that He's given. And now we're going to read and hear the story from Revelation 22. So again, we hear this river of life at the start, and it's really bookended by the story of the same river at the end of days. So let's listen to God's word as we start to get our mind around this beautiful image. God's word. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, which is with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and they will have no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You're our rock and you're our redeemer. We trust you today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we had the Super Bowl last week. Anybody watch Super Bowl? Here's a few reasons why you watch the Super Bowl. Some of you are Patriots fans. Any Patriots fans? Thank you. One. Two. Some of you watch because you are anti-Patriots fans. There we go. No love there. Some of you were Justin Timberlake fans. That's why we watch. And some just like the commercials. It's just the way it goes. In fact, one commercial this year that I thought, for me at least, epitomized the best of them was this commercial by, of all people, Budweiser. And I know we're here to talk about the King of Kings, but it was the King of Beers, and they have something to teach us here. So I want to watch this commercial really quick as we start to think about this image of water and what we might learn from it. So let's watch this.
I'll be right there.
Now, the storm is affecting thousands of families, people still in desperate need of aid.
When the night has come.
Everyone,
where
we at?
Oh,
we've got
Dan's
order and
Misty. And the land is dark, and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by. Stand by.
So this, of course, is about this company that during these hurricanes and natural disasters sent water in their cans to go and help. It's a bit ironic since it's the worst tasting water imaginable. But in this case, as they're sending water, it makes a lot of sense, right? They're telling us something, that water is important, that water is life, and that we're meant to share it with one another, right? That's what they're trying to let us know. But here's the thing, we know that. In fact, folks have known that forever, really, right? The importance of water in our life, the importance of it is not just a physical thing, but also an image and a symbol. If you look at any major religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, of course, Christianity, water plays an essential role in an understanding of our understanding of who God is, and it's no different for us. So what we're going to do for just a minute is I want us to look at three different ways that water, as we look at the scriptures, remember we looked at one from Genesis, we looked at one from Revelation, we're going to look at a few in between, of what they mean, what water means to us in our faith, and what it tells us about God, and what that God is to us, and what God does for us. And then we're going to, at the end, talk here about the primary method that we see this symbol used, and that is in baptism. All right, so first thing, what is water when we look at it through Scripture's lens? Water is life. Water is life. When we see water, when we experience water, what we're really experiencing at its core is this gift of life. Here's a picture of our globe, our Earth, planet Earth. What it is known for, this big blue, beautiful ball, is the fact that it is almost all covered with water, right? 70% of the Earth is covered with water. Did you know that 30% of that is the Pacific Ocean? We live right next to probably the biggest body, well, certainly the biggest body of water in maybe our solar system, but maybe even in the universe. Isn't that fantastic? But what's beautiful about that is about water is not just that it covers our globe, but did you know this? It is at the core of our physical being. Did you know that 65% of your body is made up of water? 65%. And it's water that lubricates your joints, if you will, helps keep you going. It keeps you regulated in your temperature. It helps move things around the body, right? Oxygen and nutrients and other things, right? You cannot live without water. You can live 30 days without food. Some of us maybe more. But water, what, a couple days, 4 or 5 days, maybe a week, and then that's it. Water is life. It is absolutely necessary to the very core of our being. We saw this in the scriptures, right? We have this story that Vicky read for us from Genesis, right? Where we have this garden that is created really on behalf of this of humanity. This person who is given this ability to have this communication with the God of the universe. And this garden is built around them. And what runs through this garden, this river that feeds it, this river that feeds it. Imagine the power of that symbol in the day, in this arid and dry place like the Middle East, right? And yet here is this river that feeds and gives life. We saw that same image at the end. And then at the end in Revelation 22, we also see it in Jesus. And this is what Susan was talking about to our kids, right? John chapter 4, where Jesus meets with the Samaritan woman. And he says, you know, I am the place where you can find living water. I can give you water that will not go away. And this to a woman who's coming at midday to fill up her pot at the well, right? And that's what we know about God. That is what we believe about God. That's why water is such a powerful symbol. It is not just life externally, it's life internally, it's life spiritually. It is a symbol of God who gives us life. Water is life. Second, the second symbol in Scripture, water is power. We know this to be true, too. This is a picture of right now of Cape Town, South Africa. You all been hearing about Cape Town, right? This very beautiful, in many ways prosperous city in Southern Africa. 4 million people, and they are running out of water. In fact, they have this day they call Day Zero. I think it's May 11th, where they literally will run out of water, they say. A 4 million person city out of water. Can you even imagine what that's going to look like? It gives us pause, right? Not just how much water do we have, But it gives us pause on the power of it. Think about this. This is something that will take a city down. And if they don't get it, if we don't figure it out, it is going to take them down. And we know that's true about water too. It not only, we need it to survive, but it cuts swaths like the Grand Canyon. It can cause great destruction, like in the hurricanes that the King of Beers was trying to help out with, right? It has this power that creates and destroys. And in the same way, we have a God, right, who has life and power in that God's hands. We see it in Scripture. Think about the Noah story, about the power of this flood that basically wiped out humanity, right? God's doing kind of a reset, like a 2.0 on his creation. Or we have Jonah and the whale. Remember that? Where he's out on the boat and it's this water and this swell that comes that causes the other folks on that boat to throw him overboard because they feel like God is condemning them for some reason. And so Jonah is the one that they throw overboard, and God uses even that water and those things that swim in it to bring them back to himself, right? Water is power. Water is power. And we have a God who gives life, and we have a God who is the ultimate power source in this universe. Third thing that water is, as we look at Scripture, is that water is redemptive. It reminds us of God's redemption, right? I put this picture up here. This is a picture from the Team World Vision Run or the site. Maybe you've seen it. We had like 60 folks show some interest. A lot of folks sign up for this, which is really to benefit clean water projects in Africa. Here's the great thing. I decided against my better physical judgment, but spiritual judgment, I'm going to do this thing. And that's because I've seen this. I've actually, not this picture, but I've seen this happen. I had a chance to go to Swaziland with World Vision, see my sponsor child who used to have to walk miles to get dirty, gross water from the river, to now have to walk maybe 100 yards to this borehole that World Vision has dug for her community. And it is redemptive, not just the clean water, but the fact that she doesn't have to walk to the river anymore. The fact that she can spend time on her schoolwork and all these other things, it redeems. Water is a symbol of washing. It's a symbol of cleansing. It's a symbol of refreshment. It is a symbol of redemption. And it is true throughout the Scriptures. Think about all the times water is used to heal people. Think of Naaman the Syrian, who is told by Elisha to go to the River Jordan and wash himself 7 times to release him of his leprosy. Think about the ways Jesus used water as he sent folks to the pools, like the Pool of Siloam, to go and wash and be cleaned. Think about the way Jesus uses water to redeem wedding ceremonies when he turns water into wine, right? He redeems that for them and keeps the party going. You think about the waters, especially of baptism. The waters where Jesus comes down to become one with us, a symbol of Christ identifying himself with us, where we meet him. Friends, water is life. Water is power. Water is redemption. And when we see it, when we hold it, when we taste it, when we touch it, we are invited to remember that God of these graces. Here's the problem, though. We have very short memories. We have very short memories. In fact, what we often do is we like to redefine things into our own image, right? It's no wonder that the very first of the commandments are about make no other idols in front of me, because let's be honest, we're the idol that we make before the living God. I don't think there are 3 more misunderstood words these days than the 3 words we just talked about: life, power, and redemption. Let me tell you how I think we today, as human beings, have redirected these words. The first one is life. I'll give you an example. I was at a talk this week by this woman. Her name is Jean Twenge. She's a sociologist from San Diego State University. She studies different generations and cultural changes. She's now studying the generation that she calls the I generation, I being a little I. And what it means is, of course, it's folks, students, kids, who have grown up their whole life with cell phones, smartphones really, right? iPhones, if you will. This generation who's grown up, they've never known to not have the world at their fingertips. Isn't that fascinating? We have kids, including some here, some of ours, They have never known a day when the whole world could not be at their fingertips, right? Now, this is a fantastic tool. It is wonderful. It is great. But what her research is also finding is that kids these days who have grown up in this generation, they also have great challenges in that they're growing up less happy, more depressed, often growing up slower, less rebellious, she says, which means they're willing to not just try stuff and live out an adventure. They're perfectly happy just sitting there with the phone, and yet it does not provide life and happiness. It's good up to a point, but in her research, she's found that more than that, it actually descends into darkness and despair and loneliness and the rest. Isn't that interesting? Here's this device that should give us life, and yet the reality is it is not real life. Access to whatever I want does not give me life, right? It is a false life that we place our ground on. Second one, power. We've been talking now, our nation has been talking about having a big military parade in Washington, D.C., right, where we can kind of show our military might, much like France or Russia or China or the rest. Interesting, right? Might be great for a nation. Might be something that a nation would want to do. But isn't it interesting, as we as Christians, we sometimes put that forward as the true definition of power. And that is not the true definition of power. The power is not in our military might. It is not in how strong we can be and how much force we can punch with. Power comes in what we saw before, in this God who is beyond nation, who is bigger than every other power. The God who provides us life and understanding and mercy and grace. That is the true source of power. And yet, how easy is it for us to transport that understanding of power and forget it and try to put all of our eggs in this other power basket? We identify life as ourselves. We identify power as our own. And then finally, redemption. I'll be honest. I think this is the biggest one. When we think of redemption in our world today, I think we often align it with another R word, which is revenge. That's what redemption means to us. It means getting back at. It means I lost and now I'm going to win. It means you hurt me and now I'm going to hurt you. Basically, if you have any successful series, adventure series, and you want to have a follow-up, just put colon redemption next to it and it will likely sell, just like 24, right? That is how we have defined redemption. It's all in our life. It's all in what I do, of me being able to get back or win what is rightfully mine. That's the opposite of redemption. Redemption is a gift, specifically a gift from God, a God who redeems us, who gives us grace, even though we don't deserve it. And so we can see how easy it is for us to go off track and how important it is for us to remind ourselves who we are and who this God is and where our true identity lies. And friends, that is why water, the symbol that runs from the beginning, the arc of the narrative of Scripture and salvation to the very end, as we saw in Revelation, this water that God calls himself, and Jesus says he is the fountain of this living water, and the water which finds itself in this means of grace that we have been given in the church called baptism. Baptism, which is this sign and seal of God's grace and love for us. Baptism, which is this gift that God gives that reminds us that we are tied into the true power source. Baptism, which reminds us that just like water washes us on the outside, we have a God who washes us on the inside. We need baptism, and we don't just need it once, although we don't rebaptize anybody, because this is really God's gift to you. You can't screw up enough to need it again. But we need to be reminded of it. And we need to be renewed in our baptisms. That's why we have a baptismal font up here in front every single Sunday with water in it. It's not just an empty bowl. It has water in it. Because we need to be reminded that we have a God who gives us life, who is the power, and who redeems us each and every moment of every day. In fact, we need to even be reminded of that even today. Let me tell you what we're going to do. Something a little different, so beware. In our baptismal font up here in the front, this is just our normal baptismal font, we've loaded it Well, there's water in there. But we've also put these little glass rocks in there that if you look at it, it looks very much like a water droplet, to be honest with you. And what I want you to do in just a few moments, if you'd like, is I'd love for you to be able to come and dip your hand in this water, in this font. This is not special water from the River Jordan or anywhere else. It's very normal water from our tap. It's nice and warm that God sets apart and uses for holy use. And I want you to take one of these rocks with you, these clear rocks, and take it home with you and put it in your pocket. We need to be reminded of this baptism. We don't need to be baptized again, like I said. If you were baptized as an infant, if you were baptized as an adult, that's okay. Ultimately, it's God who has chosen you. It is God who has said yes to you. And in some ways, every day, we are responding to God's grace. We are responding. And so I want you to take this home with you and put it in your pocket. Kelly was telling me, Pastor Kelly, that in seminary, she had a professor who carried one of these around in his pocket. And if he ever got down or felt like he wasn't enough, he could just finger this and put his hands around it and remind himself that God had said yes to him. He said yes to God, sure, but God said yes to him. It was said that Martin Luther, who had a very guilty conscience, always felt like he was never good enough. When he would get down, he would just pound his desk and say to himself over and over again, I've been baptized, I've been baptized, I've been baptized. Right? God has said yes to me. Nothing can take that away. And so I want to invite you to come forward, take one of these. It's sort of an act of your renewal of those baptismal vows. If you don't want to, that's perfectly fine. You don't have to. If you haven't been baptized yet, you're still welcome to come up and take one of these. Consider it a deposit. What I encourage you to do is, we'd love to talk to you about that. Maybe on the prayer cards in front of you, you can put your name down there and say, I'd love for somebody to call and talk to me about this, about being able to participate in this wonderful gift and means of God's grace for you and me. Our identity is found in this and nothing other. It's in this God of life and power and redemption, who has given us this symbol and this gift to remember him by. And so I'm going to invite you to do that. Our musicians are going to come forward. And as they sing, I'll invite you to come forward. There's no order to this. You don't have to come down the middle. You can come in from the side, all the rest of that, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this great day, and thank you for this symbol of water and of baptism, Lord. It is it's a sign and seal, we believe, of your grace in us and your grace for us. And Lord, as we come forward, may we be reminded on a regular basis, but in this moment as well, that no matter what life throws at us, no matter what our world says is true life or power or redemption, that ultimately it is in you and you alone that we find life. And so, God, use this these very normal things for your holy gifts. And as we walk forward, may even the act of walking forward be a way to grow faith in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.